Welcome to the Tax Answers Advisor, the show where clarity meets confidence in the world of taxes and finance. I'm your host, Marcelino Dodge, enrolled agent and certified tax representation consultant, here to guide professionals and business owners through the challenges that can quietly disrupt success, especially in the legal field. Today, we're diving into an issue that every attorney knows all too well, managing accurate, reliable financial records while handling complex emotional cases. The truth is, clean books don't just help your clients, they protect your practice, strengthen your cases, and save you valuable time. My guest today is Mary Stewart of Quick Win Bookkeeping, a bookkeeper who specializes in preparing books for attorneys. Today, we'll explore how precision bookkeeping supports stronger legal outcomes, reduces IRS complications, and helps attorneys stay focused on what they do best, advocating for their clients. If you're a law firm owner or family attorney who wants smoother financial operations and fewer tax headaches, this episode is designed for you. And also keep in mind that every number tells a story. The right help can turn yours into one of relief, confidence, and success. Don't wait for the IRS to write your next chapter. You can take control today by visiting taxreliefcall.com and schedule a confidential consultation, because peace of mind isn't just for your clients, it's for you too. So I'm going to say hello, Mary. Welcome. Would you like to share a little bit about yourself and your background today?
Thank you, Marcelino. Yes, background. So I've been in accounting since high school. So that's quite some time, a little age on myself. No matter how much I tried to escape it, it was always coming creeping back in. So I finally decided, you know what, it's time to take my skills and my knowledge and put it to use for others. So I opened up my bookkeeping cup business about towards the end of the pandemic back in 21. And I've been helping attorneys and a couple other business owners ever since.
Okay. Well, that's a great background there. Your sounds a little bit similar to me. Tax just kind of grabbed on to me as I was going through stuff a little bit later than high school, but still certain things you just kind of fall into that you figure out you're good at. So you want to go and share it. So that's why we're sitting here talking today. One is because we kind of intermingled together between tax and bookkeeping, because bookkeeping actually helps to get to the tax part. So anyway,
absolutely
there.
Absolutely.
So let's delve into this a little bit more here. So what inspired you to focus on bookkeeping for attorneys? Because I call that real specialized. And how does this approach differ from working with traditional clients?
I think what really drew me was, you probably can feel this a little bit. So I know that when it comes to accountants, we sometimes have a bit of a stigma, if you will, for us, then, you know, they're going to cheat us or they're going to whatever. I found when I was working with attorneys, of course, they kind of have the same, not necessarily the exact same stigma, but people think that they're just out to get money, et cetera. I think that's just what drew me to them, is that, you know, that relatability to that. And then that's not always the case. They're there. All the ones that I've worked with, they're really focused on their clients. They want to help the people that they're doing business with. And that really is what drew me, is I like helping people that want to help others. And so that was part of what drew me to them. And I just really have enjoyed working with them. So I just decided that's where I'm going to build my business on. And I kind of help them make a difference for their clients, right? What's different? Obviously, the biggest difference is they have compliance issues that go beyond, of course, the IRS compliances, because that, you know, they have to listen to what their bar says, which of course changes from state to state, but they have to stay in compliance, or not only can they lose their business if they're not keeping up their books and everything correctly, but they can lose their license, which means even if they lose the business, they still lose everything. They lose beyond that. So it's very specific and very, not sure the word I'm looking for there, but basically it's just a bit more than your traditional business. Mm-hmm. I find it's a challenge, but it's one that's very necessary, and I want to help them be able to meet that goal.
Well, that's excellent, helping them to meet that goal, because they got to have the behind the scenes stuff taken care of. Now,
absolutely.
And I go in and I work with attorneys, but I work with them more on the family side because of tax issues that come up. And guess what? Attorneys don't like to deal with tax. Especially if it's their clients' tax issues, not just their own, but their clients' tax issues come into play too. And thus having a specialist like myself to come in and help them to work out those tax issues dealing with the IRS or the State Department, especially in divorce cases. That's where it can really get pretty sticky there. So you take care of them on the back end. I take care of them on the client end. And so that's what inspired me basically too, is that I like helping people get resolve their tax issues. And the tax issue can happen for the attorney too if their bookkeeping isn't right, which is why we need to talk about the bookkeeping. If that's so important there for them. So as you work with various attorneys, not just like family law attorneys, but attorneys in general, what is the most common bookkeeping challenge that you see inside a firm?
Bookkeeping challenges, gosh, there could be so many, but I'd say some of the biggest challenges I see is making sure that they're keeping their books obviously accurate, but categorizing properly. And then also just like the documentation, making sure they're remembering to always keep their documentation up to date. I prefer them to attach them as much as they can to whether it's tied to a case or tied to the expense that they've spent out money to kind of, that's safeguarding them on the IRS side, but then also safeguarding them on the Bar Association compliance side.
See, that's an interesting level that you talk about there with the compliance they have on the bar side as well. So it's that we see that's why these are so important there, because as an enrolled agent, I have a compliance side with the IRS. I got to file my own taxes. And guess what? The biggest reason why CPAs and enrolled agents get unenrolled with the IRS, because they don't file their own taxes. So just it's important for attorneys to have that all in place. And I'm really glad that you provide that service to them. Now, I was going to check, and here's something to think about here as they get organized in that figure, their income and their expense. This is a side question I just thought of here about types of accounting. I mean, what do you find? Are they doing cash accounting or doing accrual type of accounting there?
That's really a good question. And believe it or not, I have some that do cash and I have some that do accrual. Accrual one's going to be more if they're sending out an invoice and they're waiting for it to get paid, then they definitely need to be doing accrual. But I do have some clients that one of my earlier clients, I was surprised in his state that he does not have to deal with the IALTA as much, because most of his clients and the fees that he charges are under a certain amount, which their state is a part of their requirement. If it goes above a certain amount, then they have to have an IALTA. But if it's below a certain amount, they don't. Mm. So his fees, most of what his transactions were on the spot. Like he would charge them, handle their case and move on. But their cases were usually much faster to work with. So he was actually able to do cash basis, which probably isn't, I would say, probably isn't the typical, but certainly it could definitely happen. So, yeah.
And this comes, and this question comes up here because attorneys work on retainer. Sometimes we'll take like a $5,000 retainer up front. Yep. And how they take that as income is determined by what method of accounting they're using, if they're using cash or accrual.
Right. No, you're right there. So when you're dealing with the IALTA and the trust accounting, obviously they don't need to be capturing that into their side. I mean, they've still got to capture it, that they've gotten a retainer, it's been deposited into the trust, but it doesn't get counted into theirs to their operating or till we monitor it where it's in the trust. But then we also make sure that when it moves over, that it's being done appropriately at the appropriate time. Like, you know, they finish the case or depending on the case. When I think of personal injury attorneys, those particular attorneys, they're usually doing it at the end of the case when it's, there's a settlement. So that's, again, that one can be a little bit more cash basis because it's happening at that moment. Do you see what I'm saying? They're not having to wait on retainers, things like that, but the money still moves in and out through the IALTA account. Whereas other attorneys, you know, they might be getting a retainer up front and then they sort of work on the case, and cases can take anywhere from, you know, a week to months or even years, right? And depending on their situation, those they're going to have to probably work more on the accrual basis because as while they might have some get a big lump sum at the beginning and it's put into the trust account and then it moves over as they're completing work, So they have to kind of keep an eye on and show documentation each time they're completing the work so that they can then be appropriately paid from that trust. And so as part of that, that's to me is part of the accrual, because you want to then create the invoices for the work that's being completed as it's done. And then that way you can then pay it from the trust appropriately. Usually you want to do that on a, depending on the size, of course, of the firm too, but you want to make sure you're paying that on a routine basis.
So as they complete like the hour, they do X amount of hours. And so, okay, we're going to take this against the retainer and then pull over that money there. See, and that's where it can really get sticky from the IRS standpoint for attorneys, because when you fill out the forms to do it, and depending on what type of entity they are, because some are sole proprietorships, some are partnerships, it just really depends on what they're doing and what kind of and how they're conducting business. But when you, as far as for tax purposes, you select an accounting method you're going to use, and they may use one type of accounting method when they're doing their books and so on. But when it comes to doing the tax return, they could be doing accrual within their business, but when they selected for taxes, they could be saying, we're a cash basis taxpayer, which totally changes how the retainers are handled.
Yep, absolutely. I've seen that definitely. I've had a client that really runs on accrual as far as like on the books. He's really running more on their accrual side, but then we also have to prepare and look at on his cash basis to see how things are looking and comparing and making sure that's prepared so that when it goes to tax time, they're ready for that as well.
And that's a good, really good differentiation that you make there with that, is that most businesses deal with just one type of accounting or method of accounting as they're conducting business. You, okay, we're going to do cash basis for business. We're going to do cash basis. They're usually like cash or accrual basis all the way across.
Right.
But obviously, when it comes to preparing books and then looking at the tax, you could be dealing with two different things when it comes to attorneys, just because of the way that their type of business is conducted.
Exactly.
Yes. So definitely, it's a challenge there. And so, which leads us to our next area about accurate, organized financial data. How does that help them in efficiency, especially since they could be dealing with, okay, we could be doing accrual here, cash here. So how does that help with them being efficient when we're having to balance out, in some cases, potentially two different accounting methods, depending on what they're doing there.
On what their situation is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it can certainly, if they're monitoring, they're able to see the effects that it's having on their cash flow. It can have effect on, it can help them identify even operational side. For example, that really ties to what you're saying. I have one client, they had kind of a rough month and they did not bill a lot through that month. So their accrual side was really low on the revenue, but they were collecting and doing a really good job of collecting previous invoices that still needed to be paid. Mm-hmm. And so when I ran the cash basis report, the revenue was much higher because they were still bringing it in. So at least that was able to tell them that story that, yeah, we didn't do great bringing in and getting clients during this month, but I am also able to see that I was making sure that I was accruing, collecting on previous invoices that maybe weren't collected on. So it kind of tells stories. That's what I like to see about the books, is people don't realize that it really tells a story. It tells a story of your business. And if you're really monitoring it and paying attention to it, it tells you all sorts of things about your business. If the operations are running smoothly, if they're not, it's going to show up. And it can help if you're monitoring it in different ways and watching your KPIs and things like that, you're able to kind of not only see what's happening, but now you have clarity of, okay, this is an issue. I need to address it. And then take the next steps to address it. So that's what I really love about being able to help the clients with.
And is that's what's really good when you have a specialist like yourself that really is familiar with how the attorney retainers, collections, accounts receivable, those kind of areas all work there, because it's a lot. I mean, we think about just wherever we're working in whatever area, having someone who goes in that area and can really focus in there like you're doing is just fabulous. And we think about it, we have deadlines as a tax professional, as deadline, as a bookkeeper, you have certain deadlines you need to make. Sometimes the caseloads can be heavy. Attorneys are no different. So how does a workflow that you work with in specializing in attorneys, How does that help them save time and actually have less stress as they're handling multiple cases?
Well, the biggest thing is obviously we're taking some of the burden off of them. We're keeping up with what's going on in the books, etc. And we're taking the information that we can get. All they've got to do is focus in on their clients. You know, maybe we get a little bit of data and process, you know, send that over to us, and then we kind of take it from there. So they don't have to worry about the intricacies. And then all they got to do is at the end of the month when we send them the reports, just again, it's about monitoring and knowing what's going on. Our workflow, we get the information from our clients, or preferably we, you know, if they give us access to their practice management, then we're able to go in there and get the information we need off of that. So that gives them they can focus in on that area and handle that, and then handle their caseload and not worry about, oh, did I remember this? Because we all know, I mean, do you remember what you ate a month ago? Like, no, you're not going to remember it. So if somebody else is able to take that burden off of you and they keep up with it for you, then that question comes up. You go, hey, what did I have a month ago? Right? Kind of scenario.
Yeah. So definitely helps the nice memory retention there to be able to help them recall there, because there it is in writing. That's why records are so important for all of us,
yes. But
especially helping
Absolutely.
Them. And while in our case, as we work with different clients there, we have the same issues. We got to keep up with it, make notes. Oh yeah, I did that. So yeah. And so I'm sure you keep good notes on whatever's going on with them as well. And then helping yep. them to know, okay, well, this is where you are on this, so that now you can move forward. Because I don't know how many cases your clients that you're working with have. I don't know, some of them could have hundreds of cases or something all going at the same time.
Easily. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So you touched on this a little bit as far as how keeping the books helps with their compliance issues and licensing issues and so on. How does this also help when it comes to when we think about maintaining that protection from not only the compliance issues, but even the tax surprises? Especially when they have the trust accounts and settlement funds and those kind of things. How does good bookkeeping keep all those surprises away? Because many times, as you mentioned, they're dealing with multiple accounts too.
Right. I would say having a good bookkeeper definitely helps you in the compliance on both the IRS and the bar, because you've got someone that's maintaining the records, keeping up with what's supposed to be where. I mean, we've even helped clients go, hey, you forgot to pay yourself. The money's still there. You completed this work. I can mm-hmm. see in the reports, everything that you've given me, you've completed this work. You forgot to pay yourself. But I think for the biggest thing is that not only having the systems all in place, we help kind of keep those red flags away. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because if everything is being done correctly, we're getting everything. Bookkeepers are putting things where they need to be with, so that it makes it easier on the tax professional. They're able to see everything where it's supposed to be. Then they can file it. It makes the process smoother. And the more that that's happening on a routine basis, you got less red flags going to the IRS going, hey, what's going on over with this business, right? Because mm-hmm. if you've got a lot of red flags and things are bouncing all over the place or just doesn't look right on their side, then that's, you're going to have more chance of them coming in. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is also is, like I said, I like to make sure we've got good documentation. So if there is, for whatever reason, they decide to come in and they want to check it, they come in and audit, it's all right there. So they mm-hmm. can easily see what's going on, and it's going to be a smoother, less stressful process.
Yeah, that's what we work to do. We don't want them to have stress. Let them go out and do what they're going to do, because they get enough stress from dealing with a variety of clients, from
Absolutely.
Court appearances, all of that, at least in this area.
Yeah, they don't need the bar coming in. And that, I can't even imagine what the stress would be with the bar or the IRS. Like, that's stressful. Mm-hmm. That's massive
yeah.
stress and overwhelm. I mean, I can't, mm-hmm. if you don't have somebody that you can rely on backing you up with your taxes or your, mm-hmm. or your books or both, obviously both, mm-hmm. then yeah, you're going to be in a much more stressful place, because now you're going to run around and try and figure out, oh, they're asking for something that was from 4 months ago. I don't know what I did with that document, or I know I put it somewhere. You know, you're not having to do all that. You've got people that's got you, or where's the bank statements mm-hmm. or whatever it is. You know, I mean, there's such a variety of things that are involved in it that we are going to help you make sure it's where you need it to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I mentioned earlier, they work in a variety of ways. Some are sole proprietorships, probably single member LLCs, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. And others kind of work as partnerships. As far as the ones you work with, do you notice any kind of a specific trend as how, what type of entity they're working as or how they're working as a business?
And I see all types. I've had partners, I've had incorporated, and mm-hmm. I've had sole proprietors. So yeah, I've seen the gambit of that one. Yeah.
Okay. They're all over the place then basically there. So, okay. Depending whatever their particular.
Depends on their size. If they've just started out, usually if they've just started out, they're usually a sole proprietor. They might be a partnership that's just starting out with an LLC partnership or a P, in other words, for them, it's a PLLC. And then depending on how much they grow or how fast they grow, some want to grow, some don't want to grow. Some have come out of other practices and they're like, no, I just want to stay, you know, small. And then others, they're ready to keep. I've seen some that just kicked in gear and had plenty of other attorneys under them that they've joined their practice. I saw one go from a partnership of two with one single attorney. And within about 2 years, they had like 10 attorneys. You know, I mean, they exploded really fast. So yeah. And then you just grow, you know how it goes when they, as they're growing, they can grow the, what the entity type is as well.
Yeah. And then that's important there as you go through, because you're doing, sitting there working as a bookkeeper and then making your recommendations, you're giving your professional experience and guidance to them. But then, and I'm sure you work with tax professionals, because bookkeepers and tax professionals have to collaborate together. Because for tax purposes, keeping in compliant, because as we see, to be able to serve them effectively, they need both services. And it doesn't have to necessarily be one person. It can be a collaboration, a person that deep dives into the bookkeeping like you're doing, and then a person like myself who's more on the tax side there. And so how do you see that really benefits these attorneys when there is a strong collaboration like that?
Oh, goodness. Well, definitely when there's a strong collaboration. Just to use an example, if I come across something, you just never know what you come. There's so many areas and so many things that you can come across that, you know, there's stuff, I'm sure even you, there's stuff that you come across that you're like, wow, okay, I've never seen this before. Like it happens to us, right? So if there's something that's new to me that I'm not familiar with, if I have someone I can collaborate with and reach out to and go, okay, how does this need to be handled? Like, what is this going to affect on their taxes? How does the IRS treat this scenario so that I know then on the books how to treat it on the books? Having that communication and that connection is huge to me. And then, of course, then if I'm doing what I need to, I can make the process smoother on your side, which actually is also benefiting the client, because then this process for them for tax time is also smooth. And then if there are things that is seen as, okay, well, this is a little off or whatever, and there's adjustments, then it's easier to make sure that, again, the books are appropriate, because then I'm giving in the information from the tax professional is, hey, you know what? We saw that. Sometimes I'll use another example. I have a client he does have a partnership, but he also has his partnership has a separate business. So he's got two businesses. And sometimes one business will borrow funds from the other business.
Oh my.
I'm sure you've seen that. And so when I don't see the other business, that's the interesting thing. So I don't have the books on both businesses. I have just the one. And so the tax professional at the end of the year sees all of that and is able to see what needs to be done. And if she saw something that was moved or needed to be moved, and she says, hey, this business needs to pay this business back or whatever, and that transaction needs to happen, she's able to reach out to us and go, okay, there's these other pieces that you didn't know about. Here's what we need to fix on the books. And we need to make sure this funds move. So those collaborations help us, and then it helps them make sure things are happening that needs to, because they might not know what needs to happen on that side.
Yes. And one thing you bring up about one business loaning money to another business there. Something I always ask about in those particular situations, is there some type of promissory note between businesses?
Agreements,
With a payment schedule, with an interest rate, those kind of deals. Because I would say just for their regular compliance, for their bar license, it would be important, but it's essential for the IRS. You're not supposed to be moving money, because anything you're dealing with it, you have to have a some type of written agreement there that covers that.
Right.
So I hope, sure, you're
even
probably
though,
checking.
Even though it, to you, it's just you, barring from you, mm-hmm. it's not, because you have to remember that it's two different entities and they're separate from you personally, mm-hmm. unless you're sole proprietor, but you know.
Yeah.
Now, that goes into a different thing.
Another challenge I can see, and this can be, this kind of gets into my next area about red flags there. I don't know if this has been an issue for you, but I have seen this happen occasionally with some partnerships in particular and LLCs is, and this is a big red flag that can happen, is if you have partners in the business acting or being paid as W-2 employees. An issue.
And they're
sometimes.
A partnership. Typically not. The only mm-hmm. time I've ever seen a partnership, the partners being paid on salary, is when they change their entity type mm-hmm. to an actual S corp, and mm-hmm. then they're appropriately being paid mm-hmm. through payroll.
Yeah, exactly. There.
Yeah. That would be absolutely be a red flag if they were just on payroll and they're only just set up as the partnership straight up. Because
that's a caution. That's something I've encountered with partnerships or multi-member LLCs taxed as partnerships, and they didn't make the S corp election. So, yeah, that's one big red flag, which can draw an audit pretty quick if they're playing with it too much. And sadly, I've lost clients over those kind of issues because I'm like, no, I'm not doing this. You can't do this. This was settled a long time ago, and then they say, well, I want to. I'm like, okay, goodbye, because I'm not doing it. So Now that's one big red flag that comes up. Have you encountered other red flags that could signal maybe perhaps deep financial or other operational inefficiencies?
Oh, goodness. Some of the bigger red flags, this one's going to sound silly, but one red flag I had with one client when I first started with them was that we found that the way they were taking their credit cards, they were simply categorizing it as a credit card charge. Instead of categorizing the actual expenses of each expense hitting the credit card, they were just putting it as credit card. It's like, nope, you can't just do that. You got to know what your actual expenses are. It's not really going to help you. So that was probably one. The other would be definitely if I'm seeing the distributions are really high and they're constantly digging into the cash and it's hurting the cash side, that's a huge red flag. Expenses that don't belong actually to the business, that's probably a bigger one. I don't see that one, thankfully, too often, but that's usually if I see that, kind of try and correct that. If I ever had a client that was repeatedly doing that and not changing that kind of behavior, I would probably have to let them go because that's going to be a huge red flag. And if you're constantly seeing that, I feel like that would be not only a red flag for the potential bar, but also definitely for the IRS.
Yeah, treat your separate entity.
Commingling is horrible, horrible habit that you should never get into. Never even start.
Treat your business as a business, not as your personal bank account, which
sadly
some business people do in general. But for attorneys in particular, that's a huge risk.
Yes, it is. Another one that's coming to mind is still ties directly to that, and that is the don't just look at if you're trying to figure out what your distribution should be for the month or the quarter or whatever, don't use the bank balance. I've seen that happen. It's like, that's not the way to do it.
Yes, definitely there. And sometimes those things are, I don't know, because I do know when it comes to certain partnerships that they have certain items written into the partnership agreement as to what type of payment that they get. And it's very wise to follow whatever's according to the partnership agreement that they have. And then those guarantee payments for services, they need to make sure those are spelled out and follow that. And then if they need to make a change, then change the agreement because that's what the IRS will go back and look at first. Okay. Can we have a copy of this agreement of your operating agreement, basically, or your partnership agreement or whatever you have that way.
Right.
That ties it solidly together for them. So that's, then you get another bank of attorneys involved for that because attorneys, you would think, I don't know. I'm thinking attorneys ought to be able to make a partnership agreement, but maybe they need a neutral third party to make it for them. I don't know. But
you'd be surprised. No, they do. I've actually even met someone that specifically focuses on helping them create their charter to help them be more successful because a lot of them just jump in, you know, just like everybody else.
Oh, really?
You think, oh, you know what? We're going to work really well together. And they jump in and Yeah, they know to make agreements and they do it to a certain point, but sometimes they don't think about all the little nuances. So, yeah, I think having a third party that's neutral, that can help you kind of think of those things is would be very beneficial to them.
Okay. As we see, we talked about attorneys sometimes fail to look at their own financial concerns as they focus on clients. So how do we see a connection then between clean books and the long-term business health?
That's definitely where a lot of, I think I've kind of probably touched on it already, but essentially, like, if your books are kept accurate and up to date, then you're going to have a better idea and you're monitoring your reports so that you can see what's happening with the business, then you're going to put yourself in a better position because then you can make strategic, more aligned decisions based off them rather than constantly feeling overwhelmed with, like, I don't know which direction I need to go and just making gut decisions. I think this is what's accurate. Like I was saying, don't go look at your bank account and just assume that that's, I should be good to do this, because that's what can get you into trouble super fast. The other thing is that it can help you get in a better position that we all run into hard times, right? I mean, businesses do. Economically, we do. Look at what happened with the pandemic, things like that. So being prepared for those and having a plan in place is huge. And knowing what your finances and how those things are affecting your finances is a huge part of that. And so having a cash reserve is a huge part of that as well. So those are kind of, to me, some of the key points that that can help them, not only currently, but moving the business forward.
Okay. Yeah. As far as the health there. So, and you brought some of these out very nicely there and throughout our discussion today, but just to emphasize some tools or best practices that you would recommend attorneys need to do to keep bookkeeping organized and, I guess, audit ready all year. I mean, does that mean the bar can come in and look at their books? I mean, is that a thing?
Yeah, yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
The bar can do an audit. The bar can come in and do an audit as well. So best practices, obviously, as I said, documentation and attaching a documentation to, whether it's to your expenses, to your funds coming in, funds going out, your client work, things like that, whether you're putting it into your practice management or your accounting system or both, which would obviously be even better, because then if they can just go into, in particular the IRS, if they can go into your bookkeeping accounting system and see what's there and, you know, they're wanting to verify a transaction. Well, why did this get paid? They see an attachment and notes, by the way, love notes. Anytime you can add notes, those are even better because then you're explaining why you spent whatever. And they don't have to be long, you know, just brief things. But documentation in particular, to me, receipts. You go and stop, you're traveling for a conference and you stop and you get gas. Save that receipt, upload it. Some of the quick tools, if you happen to be using QuickBooks, QuickBooks has an app. You can snap a picture and upload it, be done with it. Or you can send it over to your bookkeeper. We do that all the time. We even have it where clients can easily just simply hit a button with an email and they're done. I have one client that they have a scanner set up with a button that literally all they have to do is put it into the scanner, hit the button, and it immediately sends it to us. So there's lots of different little tools out there that can kind of make this more streamlined, more efficient, and faster. And then we've got what we need. We can attach it where it needs to be so that when they come in, it's there.
Excellent. Excellent there. There are many excellent tools and
there's so many out there. Too many to like name them all, but.
Yeah. Here's a side thought there. Have you worked with some, do any of the attorneys that you work with or have you recommended that they use like accountable plans for perhaps reimbursements? Have you done any of the
accountable plans?
Well, we're talking about like for certain types of reimbursements for like business related expenses. Sometimes businesses will set those up to reimburse for perhaps mileage or little things that they do along the way.
Yeah. So like if they've got more than one attorney or whatever and they're traveling. Yeah, I would suggest a system and a process that they need to have in place. I see that vary. But depending on, you know, if you've got a really small firm, just make sure you've got something that's where they are documenting in some way why they're needing to be reimbursed. Or if you're doing it in advance, make sure you're documenting that as well, especially. And then we want to make sure that you're getting reimbursed if you're doing an advancement. So yeah, absolutely. There's lots of different systems for that as well. As well as mileage. I mean, just capturing if you're doing it by mileage or direct payment of the expense like gas or whatever.
Yeah, some of those things as well there.
Yeah,
One of the
because then you got
common.
per diems and things like that. And then there's lots of different cards that can be used. Again, depending on the size of the firm and how you're wanting to do it, whether you're doing, I've got some that, for example, American Express, you can get multiple cards for the specific people. I would never recommend it for all your employees. I would definitely never recommend that because then it's harder to control because you got multiple people and trying to keep up with them. But you don't want just anybody just going and spending the funds. That's how I see it. But there's also programs out there that have cards that you can say, like if you've got people that travel routinely for you or something, you can put funds specifically on that card that is designated for that. And then you're able to track it through that system specifically as to what they're spending it on.
Yeah, definitely keeping good track of it. That's just the whole story of today, keeping good track of it there and making sure you document, document, document. See, now, and it's not just for bookkeeping purposes, because talking
Absolutely.
tax purposes as well, we want to make sure that they don't end up having to get a hold of someone like me to maybe resolve their own personal tax issue because maybe they didn't file, which I'm sure there's some that don't.
It happens.
It happens, or they haven't paid, or whatever the case may be. But good bookkeeping will help you to avoid all those issues and be proactive, which is what our goal is, being proactive in all of these areas there. So then just some of this we've covered so much, and it's been so informative here. But as we look again, we talked about how a knowledgeable bookkeeper and a tax professional, how they bring peace of mind and professional confidence to the attorneys, though. So again, and just to help those listening here to see why is that partnership going to be so important for them as they look to grow their firm there. Let's just really kind of emphasize that point, because it's just so vital. You do need both.
Yeah, you definitely do. Having both really is going to help empower you to be able to, like I said, knowing what your numbers are and what they mean, what they tell you, and being able to plan appropriately so that you can reduce your tax bill, right? That's huge. Like, no, who wants to pay the taxes, right? You want to reduce that as much as possible. So taking the time to work with them and get that right information that you need. And then documenting it, et cetera, is huge. And then being able to see and monitor it so that you can make good decisions, that's the empowerment that you get. And then it actually helps you be more confident. You're not trying to guess what you need to do with your business or the next step or whatever needs to happen or whatever the scenario is. But if you have a clarity on what those things are. You have a clarity on, okay, this is what I can expect. This is going to help me reduce my tax bill if I take these steps or whatever. It's going to give you the clarity that you're needing. That clarity gives you the confidence to make those decisions or take those next steps that you might need to take. And maybe you're more hesitant because you're like, gosh, just I'm not sure what I need to do. Am I taking the right step? You know what I mean?
Definitely there. And clarity we see is oh, so important in any
Oh, very
business.
much.
And I can see where it can even be doubly so for attorneys because of the many challenges, issues, laws, cases, judges, other attorneys. They're maybe arguing cases against for their clients. So there's a lot going on, a lot of moving parts that they have. And hey, keeping that
Absolutely.
clarity on the back end will definitely help them. That way they can have the tax issues resolved and not even have them in some cases. And then, of course, in other cases, having an option to be able to know if their client has a tax issue that needs to get resolved before the marriage is resolved or after the marriage is resolved, being able to have a professional available to resolve those issues. Because when you have a client that finds out their spouse hid $100,000 or something, and then there's a $50,000 tax bill hiding there that they happen to be jointly responsible for because of the tax return filing, that's a big mess too. And so you need to be able to focus on that and
Sure.
find the right professional to help you to deal with that. Because once again, attorneys don't want to deal with taxes, whether it's their own or for their clients. So yeah, so you got to have the tax professional in both cases there ready to go for you. So we've had a beautiful discussion here today, Mary. So if someone listening to this wants to reach out to you, how can they do so?
Reaching out to us. So fastest way is to go to our website, which is quickwinbookkeeping.com, or they can just email us at info@quickwinbookkeeping.com. And that's quick as in quick and fast. Win. We want to make working with us a quick win.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that makes it easy. And it can be quick win for the attorneys. And that's your specialty is working Absolutely. With the attorneys. And so, hey, working with you can help them have a quick win on their cases, perhaps. I like that idea.
There you go.
There you go. So again, I thank you, Mary. It's been a very insightful discussion. We'll invite all to, if you have questions, comments, want to know how Mary does it. Now, you do service across the country, I'm guessing, Mary, right? You have a total, you're virtual, correct?
Yes, correct.
So yeah, so no matter where you are, if you've really discussed this and you want to reach out to quickwinbookkeeping.com, do it. And Mary will be have that discussion with you on it there. So thank you, Mary. It's been wonderful there. It's been a very insightful discussion today. And keep this reminder in mind as an attorney that strong cases start with strong books. When your financial systems are clear and compliant, you can practice with confidence, knowing your numbers support your advocacy. If you're an attorney or law firm ready to streamline finances, resolve tax issues, or prevent IRS problems before they start, don't wait. Or if your clients have these issues, don't wait. Let's make your firm's financial foundation and your client's financial foundation as solid as possible in all the cases that you build. You can schedule a confidential consultation at taxreliefcall.com. And remember, I'm Marcelino Dodge, the Tax Answers Advisor. Thank you for listening. And remember, behind every successful law practice is clarity, confidence, and trusted financial guidance.